The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently released its final report of 2002 birth statistics. It showed, among other things, that the teen birth rate declined by 30% to an historic low over the past decade. Even more dramatic, the rate for young black teens was cut in half over that same time. If you're a teenager, we'd especially like to hear from you. Have you chosen to abstain from sex? Do you insist on practicing safe sex? Who or what influenced those decisions? And if you're a parent, how are you talking to your kids about sex? The number, of course, is 800-989-8255. You can send us email, totn@npr.org. And joining us now to talk about the CDC statistics and what they mean is Sarah Brown. She's director of the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. She's with us here in Studio 3A. And Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Neil. Glad to be here.
Now, we've heard for a while that the teen birth rates have been dropping. Were you surprised by the rate of decline?
Well, the rate's been fairly constant going down these last few years, but the magnitude now over 10 years, this 30% drop overall, is really quite extraordinary. You know, it's in every state. It's in every age group, every racial, ethnic group. So what we're seeing is, I think, a profound, very widespread demographic shift.
Do we know why?
Well, in a sort of very basic sense, there are only two things that could be causing this: less sex and more contraception. And in fact, both of those forces are at play. I think the more interesting issue is, well, why are kids being more cautious? I mean, why are they having less sex or using contraception more? And there are a number of reasons for that. I think certainly the AIDS epidemic has gotten the attention of young people, not enough, but some, and sexually transmitted diseases. There's also been a lot of attention in the last number of years to teen pregnancy, teen childbearing, everything from, you know, states and communities to even at the national level, including our group and others. We also have had hormonal methods come on stream, like Depo-Provera injections mm-hmm. that teenagers have been particularly interested in. Of course, they've had very steep declines. We know that this generation of teenagers is a bit more cautious than I think is generally believed. For all the sort of bare midriffs and kind of out there that the parents notice, they're actually, as these numbers show, doing the right things. And then just finally, I would mention that, you know, this there is a trend overall to be older when you have your first child. And teenagers generally mirror the behavior of older women in their 20s and 30s as well.
Let's get some callers on the line. Clyde joins us. And Clyde is in Berkeley, California.
Oh, wow. Yes, hello?
Hi, Clyde. You're on the air.
Yeah, I would just like to make the comment that I think that, you know, a lot of this comes from buttholes.
Ah, well, that was a necessarily not particularly illuminating comment there from Clyde, and we'll leave him there in Berkeley, California. Who are teenagers listening to? Clearly not to us right at this moment, at least not in Clyde's case.
Well, you know, teenagers actually listen a lot more to their parents than their parents think they do. We've asked parents and teens often, you know, who most influences the sexual decisions of teenagers. The parents, of course, think it's all the media, the friends, and so forth. But the number one influence that the teenagers cite and that research shows is their parents. And parents of teenagers need to understand that. Even if the young people look like they're kind of out there, you know, not paying attention, looking out the window, looking like they'd rather be anywhere else than at that kitchen table, they are listening to their parents and they're watching what they do.
What about the media, though? I mean, parents cringe when they see sometimes all the sexual messages that they can see in a half-hour sitcom.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a confusing picture. There's no question that there's an enormous amount of sexual content in the media. And, you know, all you have to do is turn on the television, see that. But there's also an increasing amount of kind of good stuff. There are more mentions now of contraception. There are more mentions of saying no. There are more mentions of consequences of sex. Again, not enough. But there's sort of the appearance on the surface of these shows and then following them over time. So at a minimum, parents and adults should use the media as conversation starters. Watch TV with your kids. Within 10 minutes, there'll be something that can set you two off on an interesting talk.
And the specific numbers that a lot of people are pointing to right now, dramatic decline in the birth rate for young black teens. What explains that?
Well, first of all, young black teens had very high rates to start with, and sometimes when rates are very high, you know, the best direction to go is down. But let's celebrate this here. For African-American teens 15 to 17 years old, a group we've been very concerned about, the rate's gone down a full 50% in 10 years. That is simply extraordinary. And I actually think that many of the things we talked about earlier are at play here, too. Deep concern about AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases in the African American community, a lot of programs and advocacy. There have been lots of efforts in low-income areas, and I think they're gradually beginning to take hold. The public health community has been hard at this now for a long time.
We're speaking with Sarah Brown, director of the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And in the hopes that we can practice safe telephonics, let's get Steve on the line from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes, hello.
Hi. You're on the air, Steve. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just a comment about the teen pregnancy and talking about it.
And do you have I take it from your voice, you're not a teenager yourself. Do you have a teenager?
That's correct. I do have a junior in high school and 2 8th graders.
And do you talk about this? It's a very difficult subject for a lot of parents to broach with their children.
Yes, we do.
And how do you go about that?
Well, it starts, I guess, at parental involvement at a young age. We start, where do people come from when they're very young, read them a book, and then as they grow, we're just involved in what they do.
And
when the question does come up and people are dressing differently at school and they hear comments at school, then we're quick to step up and say, what's it about? Let's talk about it.
And if you start talking with your children when they're younger, it's still a little easier when they get older.
Correct. Yes, we're quicker to perceive things too.
Steve, thanks very much, and continue good luck.
Thank you.
Bye bye. That's almost a formula, isn't it?
Well, he said many wonderful things. One is that, it's sort of start early and stay late. This is not one conversation. This is many, many, many conversations over many years. And I think just was sort of one friendly amendment to what he said. This is not just a conversation about sort of sex and body parts. Certainly we need to do that, and mm-hmm. we need to do plenty of that. But I think the real comparative advantage of parents is about relationships, about not just what's safe, but what's right. About the values in a family, the values in a community, how to handle difficult situations. So parents shouldn't feel that unless they know every little fact and every little side effect and the newest pathogen on the block that they have no role. Their role is to do what parents have always done, which is to sort of set the broad context, manage difficult situations, and provide lots of loving advice.
Let's get another caller in, and that's Frank from Salt Lake City.
Hi there. I would like to ask your guest, If it's just the teen birth rate that has gone down, or how about the teen pregnancy rate?
It's a terrific question. The good news is that the underlying pregnancy rate itself is going down. We only have data through 99, but that rate between 1990 and 1999 has gone down 27%. What this means, I think, is this what you're getting at, is you could drive a birth rate down, at least in theory, by a lot of abortion. You could have very high rates of pregnancy, have high rates of abortion, and then get a low birth rate. The good news in this nation is that we are having declines in birth rates and abortion rates. So we know it's the underlying pregnancy rate, and that's just what we want, and that's what we're achieving.
Good question, Frank. Thanks very much. What can parents and educators do to ensure that this trend continues? I mean, this is terrific news.
Well, I think it's a challenge because this nation sort of has a brief attention span, and we've been working, all of us, very hard for a number of years here on teen pregnancy and births. And I could see some people say, well, we've taken care of that one. Let's move on to something else. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are a lot of pressing issues. Unfortunately, though, we can't do that because even with these declines in the birth rate, the pregnancy rate, the abortion rates, and so forth, the U.S. still has the highest rate of teen birth and pregnancy in the industrialized world. So we should celebrate this. It shows that we can make progress, that the kids are doing the right thing, and we should appreciate that and take great comfort in this, but there is no room for complacency. So we say, great, progress, we're on the way, but we're not there yet by any means. We are still at twice the level of countries like Great Britain and 10 times as high as other places like Japan and the Netherlands.
Sarah Brown, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Sarah Brown is director of the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. She joined us here in Studio 3A. You'll want to stay tuned to NPR News. We have word that the jury in Chesapeake, Virginia, that's been evaluating whether to sentence Lee Boyd Malvo to life in prison without the possibility of parole or to the death sentence has reached a verdict. They expect that verdict to be read at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, which is just about 3 minutes from now. So stay tuned to NPR News for details on the verdict in Chesapeake, Virginia, on life or death for Lee Boyd Malvo. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.